How many forgot to turn their clocks back and just woke up on time? How many don't want to raise their hand? Go ahead. Everybody, right? So on the way here, my radio clock in my truck is an hour off, right? So I press system set, and it brings you to whatever you want. I press time. And on there, it says daylight savings time. They make it so easy. Like, we can't do anything anymore, right? And so I press daylight savings time, and it changes the time, which was amazing to see right before my eyes. But the time didn't change unless I press save, unless I engaged it and press save. And why do I say that? There's a lot of people that know about Jesus, heard about Jesus, talk about Jesus, read about Jesus, speak about Jesus, but they don't know him. And he says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter into my kingdom. That is scary. Wouldn't you agree? And I say that to say this. In today's society that we live in, and the Bible talks about it, in the end times, they will raise up leaders who will tickle the ears of the people but fail to teach the word, the doctrine. If I gave you this Rolex watch and said, this is a gift to you, you'd say, like, wow, thank you for... First of all, this is not a Rolex, just so you know. If you got a little closer, you would see that it is a citizen's watch. It's no way near the value of a Rolex. But you don't know that from where you're sitting. And if I continue the story, you wouldn't have any idea, right? Till you get a little closer. Till you do a little more research. Till you have a little more understanding. And if I handed this to you and it said Rolex on it, because that could be possible too, right? There's counterfeit Rolex. And you say, wow, that's so beautiful, so shiny. You kept it in such good shape. Thank you so much. And you would listen to it and it would go tick, 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 tick. And it works. It's ticking. Wow, that's fantastic. Thank you, Pastor, for your Rolex watch. And I would walk away knowing that I fooled you, right? Because a Rolex watch doesn't tick. It's a continuous motion of the second hand. But if you didn't know that, and you actually bought the watch from me, you would have been fooled. And there are many people being fooled in the churches today because they're not learning doctrine. Paul speaks about doctrine, doctrine, doctrine. Know the truth and know why you know it, because it says so. Charles Spurgeon, 100 years ago, said this. There'll be a time when instead of the shepherds feeding the sheep, clowns will be entertaining goats. Now that's cold and calculated, but that's what's happening before us today. If you go on television, on YouTube, in the name of Jesus, in the name of a church, you're going to see such foolishness. And why am I concerned about that? Because, once again, you could be sitting in the pews and lost and thinking you're right with God. And he's going to say, I never knew you. Depart from me. Now, how do you know if you're that person? How do you know? Well, I'm coming to your church. Well, it has nothing to do with you coming anywhere. Right? This is something we do because we come together as the body of Christ to worship the Lord. But are you born again in your heart? Are you renewed in your spirit? And if you are, his spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are one in Christ. And when we mention the name of Jesus, there's peace. Oh, I remember my mom asking me, Ken, you know Jesus? Ma, leave me alone. I went to Mass. I'm okay. I didn't want to hear the name Jesus. Why? Because I was so far away from him. And we can get so comfortable in bad environments too, right? Right? We start to look like and emulate the environment that we live in. Today coming here, I took my jacket out of my truck and I looked at the back of it. And because I have two dogs, I was covered with dog hair. That's the environment that I came out of. Some of us are coming out of the pit, out of the world. But listen, he says, come just as you are. But you're not going to stay the same. Something about you is going to change. There's going to be a transition that happens in your life. People are going to look at you and say, something's different. When people saw Moses when he came from the mountaintop, they knew he had been with the Lord. Something changed about him. There was a glowing in him. And unfortunately, some of us are getting so tied down with this world that we can't see through the clouds the hope and the light that awaits us. And it is my prayer this morning is not only that we know about Jesus, but that we know him personally. That there is that born again experience. Because listen, few people find it. And that to me is amazing. And I didn't have it today, but I had some statistics of all different types of religions throughout the world, throughout time. And billions upon billions of people are following some religion, some other doctrine, and they're lost. For broad is the way and wide is the path that leads to destruction, but narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to salvation, and few find it. And so I bring all this up because in our text, if we don't understand what Jesus is teaching here in the beginning of chapter 13, then we won't understand. We won't be mature enough to understand the other parables. This is spiritual. God gives us wisdom in the spiritual realm. And people need to act upon what we understand. In other words, it's one thing to have head knowledge. Yeah, I know who Jesus is. You ever talk to somebody and say, oh, that's great for you, right? That's listen, you're into it, that's fantastic. Have you heard that? Sure you have. You've heard people say that. Well, I'm just not into it. I've had a friend that I've ministered to or tried to evangelize. Yeah, I'm just not into it. Okay. But everyone will have to answer this question. What do I do with this man called the Christ? That's what Pontius Pilate said. What do I do with this man called the Christ? And you've heard people who don't believe that he's the Messiah. Oh, he was a great man. Is he? If you don't believe he's the Messiah, then he's a liar. And so there's confusion even in that realm, right? There's a band called YouTube. Some of you younger people are familiar with that. Some of you are not. And the song singer, Bono, the song says this, I believe in a kingdom come where all the colors bleed into one. You broke bonds and loosened chains and carried the cross for all my shame, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for. In other words, yeah, I understand that, but that's not working for me. Now, I don't know if that's his heart. I'm just using this as an illustration. But those are the words of the song. That's what he sings. Jesus goes to the demons, and they say, Jesus, you, Son of God, have you come to torment us before our time? The demons know who Jesus is, and we're still trying to figure him out, right? In other words, he's revealed himself to us, but we need to believe, we need to accept, we need to receive. And our lives, listen, will begin to reflect that. Doesn't happen right away. And here's where a lot of people get lost. They look at other people. Oh, he's so holy, he's so spiritual. Don't compare yourself to him. Toby Mac put something on Facebook and I shared it. Don't be concerned about my sins because you won't be asked about my sins. Isn't that true? There's sin sniffers out there. Be careful. Don't be one. That's not a gift. Sin sniffing is not a gift. This is important. Because if you've seen some of the things that I have seen in the name of church, and you can see them, go to YouTube, look them up, look up these churches. There's a local church, I spoke about it. For the month of October, the whole platform was the haunted house with tombstones and ghosts going through. And they spent, I can't imagine how much it would cost to do it, major production. And some of the titles of the teaching were How to Hug a Vampire. What makes a haunted house a haunted house? Really? There's people dying, going to hell. And in Jesus' time, they were doing the same thing. And he says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. You were supposed to be teaching my people. And you were just pillaging them for their funds. They were coming to you for stuff. And you didn't teach them. On the outside, he calls them whitewashed walls. On the outside, they look clean. But inside, they were ravenous. Ravenous. Jesus wants to encounter you, listen, this morning. Because we can't go any farther unless we understand what he's saying here. The nation of Israel was called God's people. He had chosen them. And because of all mankind had fallen to sin, Jesus came to pay the penalty. Jesus was spoken about from the book of Genesis to Revelation. They knew, they should have known. He says, you of all people who had the law and the prophets should have known the day that I would come. And on Palm Sunday, he walks in, they hail him king, but he wasn't their king. They thought he was going to come and overthrow the Romans because he was talking about the new kingdom. Overthrow them and put them back in power. And Jesus was speaking about spiritually. He came to set us free from the law of sin and death. And his kingdom will have no end. It will be forever. And faith is the substance of things hoped for. There is a substance. We are going somewhere. Jesus came physically and said, put your hands, fingers in my palms and your hand in my side to Thomas. And he said, stop doubting and believe. How many more sermons do you need to hear today before those who don't believe believe and those who do believe trust? Because even though you may be a believer, you may be struggling, right? Being torn back and forth of what you know, how smart you are, and your circumstances. Oh, I know, God, you can do all things, but you're not doing as fast as I want to, so let me help you out. Ever be there? You ever been there? We're going through Genesis. We're seeing Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They all did it. God gave them promises, and God didn't show up in their timeline, so they had to help God out. Be careful. Be very careful. Jesus speaks about the word of God. Because the nation, and we're going to finish chapter 13. This is our fourth week in this chapter, but it's very important that we understand the context of these parables, because if we don't, we won't understand the other context in Scripture. Mark tells us that. I'm not making that up. Mark says if we don't understand this, how are we going to understand everything else? The nation of Israel was called by God to be his people. They were told when he would come, the very day. And yet they didn't receive him. And as a nation, in the text, they reject him as the Savior. And so now Jesus begins to speak about what that kingdom on earth, the church, God's authority on earth would look like because of the nation, those who were supposed to be his people have rejected him. Salvation now comes to the Gentiles. The Jewish people are blinded for a season, but God hasn't forsaken them. He hasn't replaced them with us. We are adopted. We are grafted in as one body. But listen, until Jesus comes again, there's going to be counterfeit Christians and true Christians, born-again Christians and professing Christians. There are many people who profess, Lord, Lord, right? This is professing, just out of your mouth. Oh, yeah, I'm this, I'm that. I used to tell people, yeah, I'm a Catholic, I'm good. You may say, oh, I'm a Nazarene, I'm good. But you fill in the blanks, it really doesn't matter because it wasn't true. What makes me good is not me. What makes me good is Jesus' spirit in me. That makes me righteous. I am not righteous on myself. Apart from him, I am damned, and so are you. But because of what he's done, we will live forever with him in his kingdom. And while we're here, his spirit dwells within us, empowers us, encourages us, guides us, and directs us if we let it. Because we could be focused on everything else. Perhaps things are not going right in our life, and that's all we think about, and we're miserable. But God doesn't want you to stay there. He wants you to rejoice in him. So he speaks about the seed that's thrown. The sower is God. The seed is his word that is given to us. Well, what is the word? He says the word will never pass. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word will never pass away. That Jesus is the word of God. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. Wow. Light has come into the world, but men like their darkness. So they won't come into the light. This is the reason why it sounds so easy for us to believe. Oh, this is unbelievable. How could you not believe? And yet that's the reason, because of their sins. And so he speaks about the seed, the word thrown on the wayside in the fields, border places, has no root, stony places, and thorns. And then it speaks about the good soil. So out of the four, only one of the soils is good. Which one of you in here are good soil? Well, hopefully all of you, but we don't know, right? This is why we don't judge unto salvation. Now, some of us will say, well, you know, I can apply that, and this is fine too. You know, sometimes I feel like I'm on the wayside, I'm so worried about things, I'm in the stony places, sometimes I'm totally rejecting, I'm that thorn, but sometimes I'm good. Now, you can apply that to your walk, but in context, he's speaking about the world. The field is the world. So the word goes out, and he speaks to them in these parables. So the first one here is the kingdom will be rejected by most people. Most people reject the kingdom. Now we think that, and there's doctrines that will teach you, yeah, there's going to be revival and God's going to come back and save every... No, that's not what the scripture tells us. As a matter of fact, it says in end times, they'll raise up leaders to tickle their ears and they'll hate you. So things are not going to get better, they're going to get worse. But that's okay, we're going to rejoice. Why? Because God's word will be fulfilled. Not everyone will believe, know that. Love everyone, but not everybody's a believer. Number two, the parable of the wheat and the tares. And it speaks about the seeds being sown, and the enemy came in at night and he sowed tares, which is weeds, with the wheat. And they wake up in the morning and they see all these things grown, but who put these in here? He says, no, there's an enemy that did that. Well, should we cut them all down? He says, no, let them grow together. So good and evil will grow together. In the church, in the kingdom, there'll be true believers and non-believers. God is not going to separate us until the end time. Know this. This is why he tells us to be wise, beware. Jude says, ungodly men have crept in unnoticed. Ungodly men have crept in unnoticed. You know, it's okay that they're sleeping together, but, you know, he's a good teacher, and, you know, we'll overlook that. And now, oh, it's okay that, you know, they have this relationship with their friends, and, you know, nope, they're so funny at the alt pulpit, everybody loves them. And now they're in charge, and they make them bishops and overseers of the church. And now they begin to dictate what the church believes and what it doesn't believe. Beware, ungodly men crept in unnoticed. Jesus is warning us about this. Third parable of the mustard seed, that the church will grow in this abnormal growth. A mustard seed is very small. It's the smallest seeds, but it also only grows into a little bush. And here the parable is that it will grow into this big tree, and birds of the air will come in and nest in the tree limbs. Birds of the air, all through Scripture, are spoken of about evil, Satan, demonic forces. So they will be in the kingdom, on earth, speaking of the church, right? The fourth parable is the leaven. The church will be infected with sin. How many of you here have not sinned this week? Raise your hand. How many of you not sinned today? Raise your hand. Lying's a sin. So if you raise your hand, you just sinned twice in one day. So I'm just saying. Have you loved God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and your neighbor as yourself? Wow. So know that. We're at the cross. We're all equal. The pastor is no more saved than you are. At the cross, we're all equal. Salvation has come to everyone. We have different platforms, remember? You have a platform wherever you're at, in your house, in your community, to teach about the Lord. But infection, so leaven is something that grows. And so a little leaven hidden will begin to grow and it'll infect everything. This is why we are to judge in the church. We're not to judge the world because the world is doing what they're supposed to do. But if somebody is outright sinning in the church and refusing to repent and turn, and we know about it, again, we're not sin sniffers listening through the doors what you're doing in your room, but if we know about it, we're to address it. We can judge your behavior. Paul tells us that, and we'll learn about that as we go through Scripture continuously. But there'll be sin in the church. The church will be infected with sin. And number five, the parable of the hidden treasure. The church will consist of the Jews. They haven't all been rejected, right? They've been blinded for a season. There'll be those who believe. And then the parable of the pearls, which we spoke about. The church will consist of the Gentiles. And the pearls in Leviticus 11 were considered detestable, unclean. And that's what we were as Gentiles. And how precious the pearl is. How valuable it is. That's how valuable. Now I spoke about it, and you've heard it. I'll just read it again. You know, it starts with the irritation of grain of sand that's stuck in the shell of an oyster. And the oyster surrounds the grain with crystalline covering it, which in time begins to harden, and it becomes this precious, valuable. God has covered us in His Holy Spirit. And He's provided for us, and we are so precious like this pearl. And that's where we left off last week, was the parable of the pearls. So we'll pick it up this morning in chapter 13 of Matthew, in verse 47 through 50. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore. And they sat down and they gathered the good into the vessel, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth and separate the wicked from among the just and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. If anybody doesn't believe in judgment and hell, read them that right there. Jesus said this. This parable of the dragnet, meaning is the kingdom, not the church, will be sorted out by angels in the end time for judgment. So once again, we're all growing together. We don't know who is true or who is not unless they outright show it, right? Unless it manifests itself in the flesh, you'll know them by their fruits. We will grow together. And this dragnet, speaking of, will gather it all together, just like the wheat and tares. Let them grow together. We'll be separated in the end. Judgment is coming. Jesus is coming back. He tells us, and nobody wants to talk about it. It's amazing to me. When we speak about eschatology, end time events, when we look at what's happening in the Middle East, which has never happened before. Iran, Syria, and Russia have never co-labored before. Ezekiel 38, 39 speaks about the Gog and Magog war, and yet nobody wants to talk about it. The end time events are happening before our eyes. The players are on the field. When is it going to happen? I don't know. What do we do? Panic? No. What are you supposed to do? Love on people. Make disciples. Tell them that this ship is sinking and you need a lifeboat, and that is Jesus Christ. And that's it. And even if you don't use words, show them by your actions. Love on other people. They're going to say, wow, there's something about you. Something about you, man. I don't know. You've changed. You're different. People start coming to you. They'll be asking you questions. They'll come for you to counsel. Be that light in their life. Here Jesus gives the example of fishermen hauling in a great catch, and they find this stuff, and the pearls, the hidden treasures, and the net full of fish. Jesus outlines three major aspects of the kingdom. Number one, it concerns the treasure. In the book of Exodus and throughout the Psalms, the nation of Israel is referred to as a particular group of people, a special treasure, entrusted with the riches of God, heart and mind, the word of God. They had the law. Israel was placed in the world to be a light unto the world. But what happened? Israel did not evangelize, did not shine, but rather hid herself inwardly with rules and traditions. And so instead of entrusting and enriching to the world, the treasure became hidden in the world. And some would say, well, the church has replaced Israel and should be should have no place in the kingdom. But in the parable, we see Jesus teaches that the treasure will indeed be revealed and proven very valuable. Also in Romans 9 through 11 chapters, it makes it very clear that although Israel has been set aside, it's the hidden treasure, right? Shall be resurfaced again and an instrument of God. Everything will turn back to the nation of Israel when the church is raptured. Do you know that? Well, if you've been in this church for any period of time, you've heard me say that. You could probably quote that. Number two, the church is a major aspect of the kingdom. Here the church is likened to a pearl. And this is interesting, where the pearl is formed. We spoke about that. It's in symbolic of scriptural and prophetically. Well, the book of Daniel and the book of Revelations says the sea is always symbolic of the Gentile nations. And although there are some Jews in the church was formed from the Gentiles, so this is good stuff. Listen, the ocean is considered the Gentile nation. And in that ocean of all different kinds of things, not everyone is going to be a true believer. We've talked about this, right? I've gone over the pearl stuff, so I'm not going to continue on that. So as we recap, in light, listen, because this is important, we're going to close the chapter and have communion. In light of Israel's rejection, the kingdom, the church on earth will not be received by most people. Will be a mixed multitude of true and false believers. Now, have you captured that in your mind? Have you accepted that and received that? Because the Bible says, not bless you, not everything that seems spiritual is God's spirit. There are mocking spirits that will mock. The church will experience a rapid and unnatural growth. How many denominations are there in Christianity? 1,000, 1,500? I mean, it's crazy. And it will be infected by sin. It will include Jews. It will include Gentiles. And will be sorted by angels at the end of the age. And this is yet to happen. So Matthew is a prophetic book, if you know that. A lot of the things that Matthew speaks about will happen in the end time. So pick it up, verse 51 and 53. Jesus said to them, Have you understood all these things? And they said to him, yes, Lord. And then he said to them, therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out his treasure and things new and old. Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed from there. So this householder is not a kingdom parable. It describes a responsibility concerning truth in the kingdom. The householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old. Who is the householder? In the Greek, it's a steward, one who's responsible. Well, that's us, right? God has given us his word. He tells us to go make disciples, teach them everything that he has taught us. This Jesus tells us that. So, do you know that everything that Jesus has taught us? Well, I know Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Well, that's the milk, right? But we want to get now in the meat and potatoes. Meat and potatoes of Scripture is, blessed are you when they persecute you for my name's sake, for great is your reward in heaven. How many want to hold on to that one? But that's also a promise, right? The householder is a steward. Out of his treasure, in other words, the understanding of the things of God, the new and old, new application of old truths. Nothing's changed. They're fulfilled, right? The disciples' duty is to reconcile the Old Testament with the New Testament prophecies. Jesus has come. He's fulfilling all the prophecies that he was supposed to fulfill, and there are some yet to come. Verse 54 through 58. And when he had come to his own country, Nazareth, he taught them in the synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get the wisdom and these mighty words? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary and his brothers, James and Simon and Joseph and his sister, are they not all with us? In other words, Jesus had four half-brothers and at least two half-sisters. Where then does this man get all these things? So they were offended at him. Stop right there. You may very lovingly speak truth to someone, and they'll be offended by it. Did you hear that? They'll be offended. Don't fall and faint when that happens. Expect it. They were offended of these wonderful things that Jesus was saying. And Jesus says to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and his own house. So he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Note that miracles do not guarantee belief. Jesus had done many things, and yet they still didn't believe in him. As a matter of fact, it hardened the heart of the skeptics. In his own house, they did not believe him. And it says, listen, it says that he did not do many mighty works there. Why? Because he couldn't do it? Because of their unbelief. And so Jesus will leave this place. And they miss out because of their hardened hearts, because they did not believe. What is Jesus not able to do in your life because you're not believing? Because you're not trusting? Because you're not holding on to him? That you're not coming to him with childlike faith? What is he not able to do in your life? It's not that he can't do it, but you might not let him. You're still hanging on to your intellect, how much, how smart you are, how much you know, what you can do, your skills, and all the things that you have done. Oh, I'm a made man. I can do everything. No, you can't. Everything that you've done, God has enabled, has orchestrated. He orchestrates everything in our lives to fulfill and accomplish his person. So what's holding us back? Know this. Don't look at things happy on this earth, because they're going to get worse. Know that. Oh, I don't want to talk about that, Pastor. Well, then you're going to be a miserable person. That's all. Right? If you know about it, plan for it, understand why, then you can accept it and you can get through it. Right? We're just here for that little blip of time, the time we're born and the time we die. And that little dash in between is our life. And now is the time, today is the day, that we settle all accounts with Jesus. Lord, I haven't believed, I haven't trusted, or even I do believe, I'm not letting you work in my life.